Assalamu alaikum, this is your brother Abdurrahman Murphy, and I want to welcome you to the Heartwork series here on the Qalam podcast. Heartwork is the name of our weekly session that we host at the Roots Community Space in Dallas, Texas. These are sessions that are geared for young professionals and young families to come together and have meaningful conversations about how faith and spirituality can better our everyday lives. To learn more about Roots, please visit rootsdfw.org. And to become a sustainer and help us keep programming and content going, please visit our Sustain page at rootsdfw.org/sustain. And of course, if you're ever in the Dallas area, we'd love to have you come visit us at the community space. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Guys, every week, alhamdulillah. So, salam.
I was going to make that announcement. You stole it. So, jazakumullah khairan. The Prophet said, "Man la yashkuru an-nas lam yashkuru Allah." That whoever doesn't thank people doesn't thank Allah. So, obviously, we're super grateful to Khadir. This isn't a goodbye because she's still going to be part of the team remotely. And she, inshallah, is going to be visiting for work regularly. So you'll see her, inshallah. I don't want somebody to come back in 4 weeks and be like, "What? You said you were gone." And she's like, "I was." But obviously, it's we're really happy and excited for you. And we wish the best, inshallah. Allah ta'ala put barakah. And carve you a path back to Dallas, inshallah. She's like, "Ameen, ya Rab." Alhamdulillah, the blessed lands. So, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. You know, this tonight's session, I know I say this every week, but tonight's session actually is going to end a little bit early. And the reason why is because we're in kind of the waning, we have less than an hour of Ramadan left. And if you were there on Saturday, I'm not going to cry, but... it's tough, dude. It's really tough. It's tough to think about all the, you know, regrets that you have from the month and all the times that you could have done more, could have done better, the aspirations that you had to really, you know, focus on yourself and sharpen your soul and sharpen your heart and kind of get that together. So it's difficult, you know, whenever you leave anything that you love, like a vacation, you always regret like not waking up early and getting that cool coffee shop or not going to that restaurant or not, you know, spending more time at the beach or whatever, wherever you were. But at the same time, we have to remember the good that we experienced. And this is why Eid, there's like a mandate that everybody has to go to Eid, everybody. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, not feeling well. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, well, if you're not really not feeling well, then you should stay home. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're just kind of not in the mood and you're kind of sad about Eid being, or Ramadan being over, you still have to go, right? You still have to go because it is a celebration. That's why it's actually sunnah to eat first thing in the morning before you go, to eat something sweet, right? It's almost like a proclamation in action that Ramadan has ended. I'm eating during the day, right? And so the Prophet gave that to us. Now, we've covered in this session in Divine, the Heartwork series for Ramadan, we've covered really important topics. Like, I would argue that potentially, you know, we could write a book on these topics, that who is God to you? Who is the Prophet to you, the Prophet Muhammad? You know, prayer, meaning dua, supplication, prayer, ritual prayer in the actual salah itself. And today we're going to talk about kind of wrapping it all together, telling a couple of hadith stories from what's bound to come from the afterlife, right? And really the theme of today would then be contentment. It'd be contentment. But before we begin with that portion of it, and I want to end a little bit early today and have a dua together as we see Ramadan out and we close our Ramadan off for this year for 2019. So I wanted to, you know, make dua together before Maghrib came in. But I wanted to ask everybody, you know, what has Ramadan taught you this year? What have you learned about yourself through these days of fasting and prayer? Yeah. Okay, very good. Right, you realize your strength. You tested it out. You know, you lifted without a spot. You realize now who you really are. Right? Okay, very good. That mental fortitude. What else? What else did you learn? I'm sure a lot of people also experience that. So you can also chime in and explain that how you feel as well. Yeah. How impatient you actually are. Wow, we're going negative real quick, right? Okay. No. But that's actually good. You're being honest, and I think a lot of us probably had moments where we were like, "Wow, I really wish I didn't react like that." Ramadan. What do you mean by that? Yes. Yes. Very good. Very good. Excellent. That, and you know what? That realization, Ibn Atta'illah says something really beautiful. He said, don't give up on something just because you're not doing it perfectly. Because he said, doing it imperfectly is better than not doing it. So realizing that you weren't patient was actually better than just not being patient. Because a lot of us are just impatient. But how many of us have the honesty and courage to be like, you know what, you're being really impatient right now. And that's ridiculous. And you have to chill out. There's enough food here for everybody. You're going to get there eventually. Everything will be okay. You have to trust more in Allah, right? That realization actually elevates you near, or if not exactly to, according to the Prophet ﷺ, the status of the person who was patient from the beginning, right? Because that realization shows that you've grown and you've learned. And hopefully the next time you're tested, you'll remember the conversation you had with yourself before. And you'll tell yourself, I don't want to have that same feeling that I had before. Okay? Now, another thing that ties with that, what's your name, by the way? Oh, nice name. My man, your parents were geniuses. All right, Abdurrahman. So the interesting thing about what you said, and I think a lot of us can resonate with this, is that did any of us have experiences during Ramadan that disappointed us about ourselves that we hope that we wouldn't have done? Okay, so like impatience is one of them. Maybe like missing prayers, you know, sleeping through a prayer now and then. Maybe, you know, you name it, like engaging in conversation that was less than wholesome. And the scary thing about that during Ramadan is that Allah Ta'ala shows us that that's who we are, because all the external influences that we normally blame, i.e. the shaitan, all of that is tied away. All of that is non-existent. And so in Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that all of the external negative motivators that surround us spiritually, right, whether they be the devils or whether they be, you know, the great devils or the small ones, whatever, like the shayateen that are large or the shayateen of individuals, that they're all chained away. And so the hadith is teaching us that actually everything that you experience in Ramadan is from you. You can't blame anybody else. And that's like the most sobering realization, that this is me. That year round, I was like, you know, I got upset, but it was just because, like, you know, some shaitan got the best of me, you know. He whispered and got into my soul. No, now I know it's me. Now I know that this is who I am, right? Okay, so Allah Ta'ala gives us those realities so that we can fix them quick. It's a blessing. Because it's, you know, Allah says in the Quran, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. When he describes people who have sicknesses in their heart, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا فَزَادُهُمْ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Right, that he describes that people have sicknesses in their heart. After describing that they have a sickness, he says, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they were unaware. Because being unaware that you're sick is worse than being sick. Because that person walks around like gleefully, like, you know, as if like the world is normal, and they burn their relationships left and right. They're burning their relationship with the divine, and they're acting as if everything is normal, right? So wahum la yash'urun, and they were unaware, is actually the most powerful statement. It's not that they have sicknesses. So Allah showing us our diseases in Ramadan is actually a blessing, so we can fix it. I just realized I'm impatient in line for food. Maybe this is part of the same problem that I have when I get upset with my family and I get upset with my parents, or I get upset with my wife, or I get, you know, maybe this is part of that same disease. Maybe I got to work on myself. Maybe me waiting for food impatiently is the same impatience when I'm, you know, trying to leave the house and my son is not ready and I get upset with him, right? And I got to fix that systemic issue inside of me. Okay. So that's a blessing in and of itself. Anyone else? Ramadan, what did you learn? Yeah, beautiful, mashallah. For those who couldn't hear, whether it's from the live stream, is that she said that she was really, you know, maybe like a lot of us, anyone here struggle with praying 5 times a day regularly on time? Okay, so just so we're all aware, I don't want everyone to be like, wow. No, it's everybody, dude, everybody. That's why there's so much emphasis on it in the Quran. That's why Allah always says, aqim al-salah, establish your prayer. You know what's beautiful about the word aqim, or iqama, to make something firm or to establish something? is that when you think of something established, you think of it as being immovable. When I imagine something that is like established, that it's like a pillar, right? It's immovable. You know, you can move a lot of things around in this room. You can move the couches and the furniture and everything, right? But there are some things that you can't move. The countertop, even, you could move. You can move a lot of things like that look immovable at first, but the walls you can't move, right? Those are stuck. And even then, at some point, the foundation itself, the beams, the pillars, whatever's holding this place up, salah in our life needs to be immovable. Like, prayer needs to be immovable, untouchable. It doesn't matter what's happening. Like, that's non-negotiable, because that's my spiritual nourishment for the day. I would never, ever plan a day where I would not include feeding myself. I mean, look at me. Like, I would never do that, right? You wouldn't either. We just wouldn't. You know, my wife and I are going on vacation in a couple of days, and we're like, where are we going to eat? Is the first thing we're talking about, right? Where are we going to eat, right? But the thought of like, hey, make sure to bring a prayer rug in your car. Make sure that you bring clothes that will allow you to pray in, right? Like, if maybe what you're wearing is not appropriate for the salah, right? Bring a scarf, bring a cardigan, bring a skirt, bring a long shirt, bring pants, right? Whatever you need to accomplish that requirement for the salah, that shows that you're actually taking it seriously. And Ramadan, alhamdulillah, like, gives us that. You know, it makes us refocus on what's important, okay? So that's one thing that we learn, absolutely, that we're always one step away. May Allah give your friend's son maghfirah and forgive him and give him Jannah, inshallah, and give her Jannah as a means of repairing her suffering. I mean, anyone else learn anything about them? Your habits haunt you. Yeah. Those thoughts were yours, not shaitan's. Yeah, your habits haunt you. Very good, right? And you have 30 days to work on it. And then even then you have longer than that. Ramadan teaches you that they're yours and you have to work on it. It gives you kind of a head start. It's almost like training wheels. Ramadan removes all, you know, it gives us this benefit of being in this amazing environment. It gives us, listen, Allah is telling us, look, if you pray at the masjid, it works. If you fast, it works. If you watch what you listen to, it works. If you watch what you look at, it works. All of this works. Allah is telling us, it works. Try it, 30 days. See how you feel. Do you feel better about yourself? Is it hard? Sure. But do you feel better about yourself? Yes. Do you feel closer to me? Yes. Okay, now that 30 days are over, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep doing what you know works, or are you going to not do that, right? So the habits that haunt us, but now he's given us the shifa, he's given us the cure spiritually to know what works, okay? Ramadan is a great teacher. Ramadan is an incredible teacher, and it shows us these moments. One of the things that Ramadan teaches us is how dependent we are with our love of things. We love things. Anyone excited for Eid tomorrow for gifts? Do you guys remember walking around as you were kids getting cash? Eidi, Adeya. When does that stop, by the way, officially? 10? Okay, that was really sharp. Kiara is like on it, right? All the 11-year-olds are like, dang it, right? No, we don't have 11-year-olds here anymore. Remember last Monday? We said, okay, so 10, apparently, right? Okay, but, you know, I went shopping for you know, family gifts. You know, they went shopping for family gifts. My family got some gifts. You know, there's a couple gift bags in our house. I haven't peeked yet, but naturally getting excited, right? Looking forward to it. Okay, toys, cash, even just the social aspect of it. Getting together and doing things, getting together and eating. These are things that Ramadan shows us that, like, we are really dependent upon for our happiness. That we've put our contentment into creation over the creator, right? That's what contentment relies upon. And Ramadan does an incredible job of breaking that and showing us that you can actually be happy. You can actually find more happiness on the other side of what might be called deprivation. It's crazy. Like, I love food. I love coffee. But I found such bliss every morning waking up fasting. Despite the fact that fasting meant no coffee or no food, right? And then you only have a short amount of time to eat, right? But mashallah, there are some of us who are still able to get that full day of calories in that, right? In those like 9 hours or whatever we have, okay? Mashallah, some of you are just really talented. Like, you're just talented people, okay, Yazin? So, alhamdulillah. So it's crazy because you thought, like, again, if it were presented to you on paper, like, hey, this is what you have to do, you would think that this month would be a month of torture, that you'd never be happy. But in fact, how many of you found this, I want to call it enlightened happiness during this month, that tranquility? You know, you gave charity and you felt good for some reason. It's weird. Like, you normally feel that good on payday. But actually, when you gave charity, you felt better than that. You actually looked forward. You got excited when Facebook showed you those fundraisers. You got excited and you linked up your card and it was like super easy to donate. You actually got like a little bit excited. You're like, okay, Launch Good had that, what, last 10 nights, they're going to distribute your donations, right? These are all cool ideas that charity has become now easier for us. When you fast, when you pray, how many of y'all like were hype with your friends to go pray? I've like never seen this before, right? You go to the masjid and everyone's like people were there 45 minutes early. Muslims are never early. To what? Like, it's shocking. Like, I feel like I was at a concert. Like, I was like, everyone, who's opening? You know, Sheikh Omar, Sheikh Yasser, like, who's opening tonight? You know? And everyone's there and there's just smiles and laughter, right? And people are enjoying their, you know, company. And then you look at somebody else and they're not with anybody, but they're by themselves and they're reflecting and they're thinking and they're having time, me time, that they don't get the rest of the year, right? Because Allah forces us to slow down. Again, these are like those elements of happiness and contentedness that like you're not going to find in a new Apple Watch. You're not going to find that in a new gift or piece of technology, right? You're just not going to have those moments. So Ramadan, in a very interesting way, beautifully, poetically, by removing those things from us, Ramadan gives us the ability to experience happiness. And Ibn Ata'illah, he said this, and I think I mentioned it in our first Qiyam that we had here at Roots. He said, مَتَى فَتَحَ لَكَ بَابَ الْفَهْمِ فِي الْمَنِعِ. When God opens your the door of understanding in what it means to be deprived, he said, فَتَحَ لَكَ بَابَ مِنَ الْعَطَاءِ أو عَدَ مِنَ الْعَطَاءِ. He said that you will understand that when he takes away from you, he's actually giving you something. That when God has taken this away from you, this desire, the technology or food or whatever it might be, when he takes that away from you, once you understand what that is doing to you, you feel like actually God's giving you something, right? Like, I'm really tired right now. I'm very tired, right? Everyone's really tired, but I'm more tired, right? Because I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old, so I'm more tired than everybody. Categorically, in this room, no one's more tired than me, okay? But I'll tell you, can I just be very honest with you? 2-year-old and 2-month-old, going to Tarawih, going to prayers at the mosque at night, was not a given. And there in the beginning of the month, my wife and I tried it. And, you know, at the end of every night, bedtime and all those things were very difficult. Many of you probably had similar experiences. Did any of you guys like have a sluggish day at work the next day? And you kind of regretted it? You're like, I shouldn't have gone, right? No, what you should have done is shouldn't have gone to Denny's afterwards. That's what you shouldn't have done, right? You should have gone to Waffle House, okay? May Allah protect it and bless it, right? And build more in this Waffle House forsaken city known as IHOP Dallas Land, right? Okay. So interestingly, my wife and I, we struggled a lot with the first week of Ramadan. Mahri and I struggled a lot because we wanted to go, but having kids just completely redefines a lot of your life, including your spiritual experiences. So it wasn't Ramadan anymore when we were, you know, without kids, so we couldn't just do whatever we wanted to. Now we have to actually think about, like, these human beings depend on us. And like, you know, it's actually possibly illegal if we keep them way too long. Like, we have to give them sleep and food and comfort and all that stuff, right? So we actually took a few days off during the second week because both of us had felt a lot of that tension. We felt a lot of the distress, right? We saw that it was affecting Musa's mood and we saw that Iman wasn't doing too well. But she's a newborn, so you're never sure. But you always go towards the worst case scenario, right? We WebMD'd it. We're like, it's because of Tarawih. So then we took 2 nights off of the masjid, and the third day we woke up. We prayed at home, and the third day we woke up, and we were just like, yeah, this is definitely not the move. We just felt like we were shackling ourselves from experiencing what we should have been experiencing. We felt like we just weren't getting there. And subhanAllah, we were able to negotiate and figure out a good system. It wasn't all 20. It wasn't all 8 sometimes. Sometimes it was just Isha. Sometimes it was just Isha prayer, and then go home. But we said, we're not going to go a single day without letting our feet walk into the masjid. We're not going to let that happen. So we did that. And subhanAllah, we realized at that moment that what Allah is taking from us in sleep, he's giving to us in faith. And a lot of you have asked already, like, hey, how are you here right now? Because you may have known the last 10 nights I was giving lectures every night at 1:30 in the morning. And the reality is that I felt so energized after each of those sessions that I couldn't sleep until long after Fajr. Because when God takes, he gives you better, as the Prophet ﷺ said. So Ramadan, God takes, and he's asking you to trust him. You're not going to eat, but trust me. You're not going to sleep, but trust me. You're going to give your money away, but trust me. Because what you're going to feel is going to introduce you to this world that you never thought that you'd have. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says about Jannah. Jannah for us is this description. Who can read this for us in English? Oh, sorry, that was my bad. I was translating like literally. I was like Google. I became Google Translate. Okay, so أعددت لعبدي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. That I have prepared, and I'm getting ready. I've gotten ready for my servants who have tried their hardest. عبادي الصالحين. I have prepared for them what no eye has ever seen. And no ear has ever heard. And on top of that, nothing that a person's heart has even ever conceived of. So Jannah, paradise, defined, is better than anything that you can see, you can hear, or imagine. It almost hurts your brain to think that. You're trying to process it. You're like, okay, better than anything I've ever seen. And then you think of a Lamborghini. Right? Better than anything I've ever heard. And you think of like a beautiful sound, right? And you're like, no, but it's better than that. And you keep asking, can it be better than this? And you keep thinking of more and more. And then you're like, it's better than that. It's better than that. And then you realize at the end of that conversation that Allah said that it's better than anything your heart can even conceive of. So what does that mean? When you know that something is better, what does a person do when they realize something better is waiting for them? What do they do in the moment that they find themselves in? If I'm sitting, okay, if we're at IHOP and everyone ordered food, and I know that we're going to Waffle House, after IHOP, which is infinitely better than IHOP, right? There's ijma on this, okay? Okay, if we're at IHOP and everyone's ordering food and I'm like, all right, what do I do? Exactly. I'm patient. I don't indulge, especially me, because I have a calorie restriction, so I do not indulge, right? Because I want to make sure that every calorie is in the form of a chocolate chip waffle, okay? And so you can tell that I'm really hungry right now, okay? But the point is that Allah is telling us in this dunya to learn how to wait. Learn how to wait. Your nafs is going to want desires for you. Your nafs is going to want things. And some of those things are actually going to be not good for you. They're going to actually take you away from all the progress you've made this month. The nafs is going to seek. It's just food, guys. Don't worry about it. It's coming in. Inshallah, don't worry. It'll be there. No one's eating until 8:32. All right? Your nafs, after this month, is going to try to encourage you, your inner self, is going to try to encourage you to do things that are going to negate some of the progress you've made. All right? Allah is telling us in this hadith to do what? Wait. Learn how to wait. Learn how to control yourself. Learn how to always put into perspective the fact that whatever is coming, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. Right? In the famous Surah Al-A'la, بَلْ Allah says, تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. He says, you actually, he's talking to us as people. He goes, for some reason, you really prefer this life. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. Even though the next life is infinitely better, and it's infinite, it's everlasting. So you're choosing something that is not as good and also it's going to end over something that is infinitely better, you can't even compare the two, and you're never going to have to say goodbye. What you love here, you're going to have to say goodbye to. What you love here is going to leave you. But what you love in paradise will never, ever leave you. And you're always going to have to be there. You're always going to be able to be there with it. But what does a person have to do to be able to enjoy that privilege of being a person of paradise is that they have to show some restraint in this life. That I want to do this, but I'm not going to give up the next life for this life. I want this, but I'm not going to give it up. And the powerful thing is that the Quran and Hadith teach us that there will be people in the next life that will see it, right? Because it's hard for us to establish with certainty, obviously, belief in the next life. So we make mistakes. We slip. Ibn al-Qayyim said the reason why people sin is because for that moment, they temporarily do not have certainty in the next life. For that moment. So when I miss Fajr, When I hit the snooze button and sleep through Fajr, like knowingly, or don't set my alarm at all, knowing that I'm going to miss it, Ibn Qayyim says what's happening in your heart at that moment is that you temporarily lost conviction. Not that you don't believe in it, but you just don't have conviction in it. It went from 100 to 90 to 80 to 70, right? And hopefully no lower than that. But when I lose conviction, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, as opposed to it being like, no, this is impacting me in a serious way, okay? And so this is one of the hadith that is teaching us how to be patient. Now, this is another powerful hadith that I want to share, talking about what Ramadan does for us, okay? And this hadith is a little bit powerful, so I want everyone to kind of like buckle in for a second. He says, "Man kana ad-dunya hammahu, faraqa Allahu alayhi amrahu wa ja'ala faqrahu bayna 'ainayhi." Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever lives in this world and their number one priority is this world." So whoever lives here and they make this place their number one desire, okay? That doesn't mean that a person cannot, number one, enjoy things here. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to live like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to sell my things and just live off the street. And like, no, the Prophet ﷺ had nice clothes. The Prophet ﷺ ate nice food. But it was never his number one desire. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina, his dua. Oh Allah, never make this material world my number one desire, ever. It's conditional. What I desire here is conditional. What's the condition? Is that desire going to bring me closer to or away from the divine? If I come away from the divine, then I can't indulge. La taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina, right? So he says, whoever slips and stumbles into that, that this dunya becomes number one for them, listen to the impact of that. Are you ready? He says, Allah will allow all of this person's life to be like chaotic. He'll just let life loose on you. And then he says, and he will gather poverty and he will place it right in front of your eyes. And you know what this feels like, subhanAllah? And I mentioned this last night at the Qiyam that I was at. Has anyone in this room ever had less than you have now? Okay, you have. Has anyone in this room ever been surprised or shocked that when you had less, you were actually a little bit happier? You guys had those moments? Right? As Sheikh Biggie said. More money. Yeah, more problems, right? So listen, this is actually very important. What happens when you gain more? Do you ever become happier, really? Temporarily, right? But temporary things aren't the real version of that thing, right? Like fake cologne or real cologne, what's the difference? Fake perfume, real perfume. The real one lasts with less. But if I buy fake cologne, right, or fake perfume, I'm going to spray that joint like every hour. I'm going to bathe in it. And I'm going to just, at the end of the day, I'm just going to smell like ethyl alcohol, right? Like I'm not even going to smell nice, okay? The real stuff, one spray will last the entire day. But the real stuff is much more expensive. It's much harder to come by. So getting things will never give you true happiness. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the son of Adam and the daughter of Adam, you and I, so we'll never be content until we're buried. You're never not going to want something more. So when we gain more things in this life, we interpret that oftentimes as like, oh, God is happy with me. God is blessing me. God is giving me more. But in reality, what we realize is that with more comes more responsibility. I remember when Mehreen and I, when I first got my first community service job, when I was a youth director at a masjid, and I was making, I might have been below poverty line at that point, actually. I was not making a lot of money, right? I think it was like, just to show you, because it was a safe space, just to show you so everyone can be aware of how much youth directors and imams can make sometimes. I was making $28,000 a year. And we were eating Noodle Wave once a week. We're, alhamdulillah, very happy, but I don't think that there was a happier time in our marriage than that time. Now, I'm not saying, like, we're not happy. I'm just saying that there was barakah there. We didn't have a lot. Allah just gave us contentment. We were just happy. We're just two 21-year-olds, like, trying to figure it out over some pad ki mao, you know, and some roti curry and almost sriracha chicken. And we were happy. But then you get a lot more, and then what happens? Like, you check your bank account more. You want to upgrade everything more. You want more of this. You, now you have to get more insurance, and you have to be worried about your investments, and you have to. And there's a reality to that, sure. But there's never true happiness associated with that reality. So he says that's why the dunya can't be your number one thing. It has to be your sandbox, not your home. You play in it, but then you leave. And you go back to your home, which is your spirituality, your faith with Allah. So he says, if you make this your number one reality, you'll never feel safe from poverty. You'll always check your bank, your app. You'll always make sure that you have this. You'll always make sure that when the bills hit, you don't feel too empty. And then he says, وَلَمْ يَتِيهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. That, and this person won't even get anything besides that which was written for them anyways. All your worrying didn't matter. You're going to worry constantly, and it won't improve your financial status. All the worrying doesn't add to more money. It's just worrying with what you were going to have anyways. Destiny, right? And then the hadith continues, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ الْآخِرَةُ نِيَّتُهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ وَجَعَلَ غِنَاءَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. That, and but for the person who makes the next life their primary intention, and for young professionals, this is a very seriously difficult thing to do. That everything you do, you know you have responsibilities, you know you have to take care of things. But notice the word he uses here. Niyatahu. What's your purpose? What's your intent in life? Is it just to acquire? Acquire as much as you can before you expire? Is that like it? Or is there an experience that's waiting for you? And he says that God will gather all of your issues and he'll take care of everything for you. Allah will take care of everything for you. You don't got to worry about nothing. You just do your part and Allah will take care of everything, right? And he will place contentment in your heart. وَآتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ. And this person, the world will come crashing down towards this person like waves. Like money will just come flying at you. And you will be reluctant even towards it. Like, oh, okay, I guess. Yeah, just put it over there. Right? Like you'll get a paycheck. I know direct deposit's a thing now. But you'll get a paycheck and you like won't deposit it right away. Why? Because you want to play with your son instead. Or you want to call your parents on the phone instead. Or you want to spend time. You want to pray Asr. So you're like, you know what? I can stop at the bank on the way home and deposit this. I'm just going to go home for Asr first. That's the sign of a person who their niyyah is the akhirah. They're like, it'll be there. This dunya is going to be there. But I'm not going to let that dunya ever take over my akhirah. Ever. May Allah Ta'ala give us that, inshallah. So what's going to make us truly happy then? What is true happiness? True happiness, I think we're all at the age and stage of our life where we can agree that even though we all have a problem with dunya, right? And it's okay to say that. We all have a problem with dunya. We like nice things. We like the experiences of nice things. But you know what we love more than that? We love when Allah gives us those really like sneak peek windows into what true happiness feels like. Like when you're serving food to refugees at an iftar yesterday. When you go and do philanthropic work, and you're like, this is making me happier than buying things, right? And there are tons of studies done on this concept that a person actually finds more pleasure in giving than they do receiving. Anybody here? Given a gift and you've been happier than receiving something? Anybody? What was that like? Anyone here really excited to give a gift to somebody? And you got a gift and you're like, that's cool. Let me give you something. Why? Because you know that there's something more than just receiving. You want to give. So what's the highest level of happiness that we get? Is it going to be this? Or is it going to be this? Or is it going to be that thing? Or is it going to be these things mounted in our, you know, in our homes? Allah Ta'ala tells us what it's going to be. Who can read for us? Marcus, can you read for us? Okay.
Allah will say to the inhabitants of paradise, O people of paradise, to which they will respond, we're here, our Lord, at our pleasure, all goodness is in the hand.
So this is basically the beginning of a conversation. God is talking to, inshallah, say inshallah, us. Okay? Y'all see what I did there? All right? Ameen. God's talking to us. So we're all going to be in Jannah, and we're like, wow, we're finally here. And what does Allah use to motivate us towards Jannah? What do you read about in the Quran? Food, companionship, happiness, gardens with rivers flowing underneath, which all of us are like, that's cool, but I'm not really into gardening, right? You know? I guess it'll raise my property value, maybe, you know, like. So check this out. One of the scholars of Tafsir said something really beautiful about that ayah. He said, no, you're misunderstanding it. Who was the Quran being revealed to at the time? People who lived in what kind of environment? The desert. What do they want more than anything? Garden with the rivers flowing underneath. Vegetation with water. So that is literal. You're going to have a garden with water, but it's also metaphorical for you're going to have what your heart most desires. Because the people in the desert want nothing more than vegetation and water. So what do you want nothing more than? You know best. You know best. I don't know. We all want different things. For some of us, it's something. For others, it's banana milkshakes. Like, that's just what it is. That's what I want. And don't judge me. Okay? Right? So this is a conversation now after we've gotten everything. The mansions, everything. The cars, the companionship. You've finally dunked on Kevin Durant. Alhamdulillah, right? You've done it, okay? Now what? The ribeye, the shrimp, the sleep without your kids waking you up, the double king-size bed, everything, you name it. I just want to sleep, guys. And then Allah says, hey, guys. And we're going to say, hey, Allah. You know, like, what do you do when you're so happy? You're just like, we're here for you. Like, Allah, like, you're amazing, you know? We're here for you. All goodness is with you. Like, we can't thank you enough. Allah says, are you guys happy? هل أنتم راضيتم? Like, are you content? You know, like, when you're hosting somebody and you want to make sure everything's okay, you're like, can I get you anything? And what do we say back? We say, ya Allah, how can we not be content? Are you serious? Like, you just gave me, like, I slept 12 hours, man. Like, I haven't done that in forever. You know, banana milkshakes. You know, you just say, like, I'm super happy. I'm super, super happy. Allah, you've given us what no one else has ever given us. You're talking to your host. Your host asks you, are you okay? You're like, I've never been hosted better than this. Then Allah says, do you guys want me to give you something even better than this? And then you're like, okay, this is too good to be true. And you say, oh Allah, you've given us everything. What can be better than what you've given us? Marcus, read. Oh, go to the end. I already skipped through all that. Sorry. I got on a roll. He will say the very end. Allah. One more time. Read one more time. I want everyone to listen. Forget the food for a second. Batul, everybody, forget the food. You need to hear this. We're nourishing the heart right now. Just listen. Not for us. We didn't mind, but for you guys. I don't want anyone to miss this. What is going to make us happy? What is going to be better than everything? Go ahead. Last line. Allah says, what's going to make you happier than everything you have is that we're never going to have a relationship where you have to be worried about me anymore. You've done it. You got it. You're here. I'm happy with you. And you're never going to wake up thinking, is Allah not happy with me? Everything we want in this life pales in comparison to when you know Allah is happy with you. Isn't that what fasting taught us? You want food, but you know that not eating makes Allah happy with you, so you don't eat. And you know what's crazy? Guys, it's 5 minutes till Maghrib. Why don't we just eat now? Let's just do it. Look, it's getting dark outside. The blinds are, why don't we just eat right now? Why not? We got 5 minutes. Why don't we just all go eat right now? Because we know what? That would displease Allah. We will sit for 300 seconds. And for the Desi uncles, 301 seconds. And we will wait to break our fast because we know that's what Allah wants from us. We'll stand in prayer for 2 hours when we don't even do... I mean, we barely even work for 2 hours in the day. Let's be honest, right? Some of us. May's like, I do, right? Some of us do, okay? But a lot of people, mashallah, I see you guys on Instagram and Twitter. I see when, you know, it tells us when you like something and you're liking something the whole day, all right? So I don't know when you're working, right? It's like March Madness all the time for you, apparently, right? And we stand at night for 2 hours. Our feet are throbbing. The humidity level in that masjid is like 300%. It's more water than oxygen at that point. H whatever O. It's H4O. And that's probably poisonous. And we're standing there happily. And when you're walking out of that salah and your feet are begging you to find a bed, and your friends are like, let's go to Waffle House, you'd see nothing but smiles. Everyone's happy. Why? Because you've gotten a taste of pleasing Allah. Allah tells you in paradise, what's going to be better than everything that He told us about is that you're going to wake up every day and Allah is going to be happy with you. And you're going to finally fill that gap that was in your heart your entire life, because nothing else will fill it. Nothing else will fill it. The new iPhone will come out. Your car will be updated. Fashion trends will change. Your house, you'll outgrow it. Everything has to be upgraded. The only thing that is permanent in terms of filling your heart with contentment is knowing that your Lord is happy with you. That's it. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us that. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to accept from us this month of Ramadan. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us people who have successful Ramadans. We ask God Almighty to grant us all the fruit of this month, that whether it was self-discipline, whether it was gratitude, whether it was seeking repentance, whether it was focusing on ourselves, whatever it was that we gained from this month, O Allah, we ask You to allow us to keep it for the rest of our lives. O Allah, we ask You to forgive us of our mistakes, to pardon our sins, and to purify our hearts from all the ailments that we have. O Allah, we ask You never to make this worldly life our primary desire. We ask You, O Allah, never to make this life our primary desire. We ask You, O Allah, to grant us this life, but to make it a tool for us to come closer to You. We ask You, O Allah, to grant us this life, but to make it a tool for us to come closer to one another. O Allah, we ask You to grant us closeness to You and to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We ask You, O Allah, to perfect our character. We ask You, O Allah, to perfect our iman. We ask You, O Allah, to grant us strong faith. We ask You, O Allah, to grant us faith that is not shaken by anything, that is not shaken by the desire for more or the fear of less. O Allah, we ask You rather to grant us faith that is only moved by our proximity to You. We ask You, O Allah, to make us more grateful. We ask You to make us more patient. We ask You to make us more humble. We ask You to make us more trusting in You. We ask You to make us more people who more understand the idea and the meaning of what it means to have faith in one God, and to understand that relying upon one God is where we will find happiness and contentment. O Allah, we ask You to accept from us this Ramadan all of our prayers, all of our fasts. O Allah, we know that we made mistakes this month. We didn't do as much as we could. Sometimes we chose sleep over You. Sometimes we chose resting over You. Sometimes we chose socializing over You, Ya Allah. But O Allah, You know that in our hearts, we appreciate and love You, Ya Allah. So please forgive us for our mistakes. O Allah, allow us to leave this month of Ramadan completely free from all sins that we've committed. Allah, Your Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that whoever fasts and prays this month with faith that is sincere, that they will be forgiven from any sin they've ever committed. O Allah, allow us to feel in these last few moments of this month, as the minutes run out, Ya Allah, allow us to feel this forgiveness. Allow us to feel this moment of forgiveness so that we can end this month on a good note. Allow us to leave this month with conviction that we've benefited, that we've gained, that we've become stronger, and allow us to leave this month with yearning for the next month, yearning for the next Ramadan. Next year, grant us next Ramadan. Do not let this Ramadan be our last. Don't let this month, this Ramadan, be our last. O Allah, allow us to experience many more months of Ramadan where we can continuously grow closer to You and to Your Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa sallallahumma ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam tasliman. Amin ya rabbil alamin. Barakallahu feekum everybody. Jazakumullahu khairan for joining us for this session, these sessions during Ramadan. I hope and pray, inshallah, that it was as beneficial for you as it was for me. And I hope and pray that Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, makes all the time that we spent together as a witness for us, and that we see all this time on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. With that being said, dates are being passed around. It's time to break fast in about 30 seconds to a minute. So this is the last minute of Ramadan. Thank Allah for the opportunity. Ask Him to keep giving you more, inshallah, and then you'll be getting dates, inshallah, passed around. Jazakallah khair.